We are continuing our series, Game Plan, and we believe that God has a plan for our lives. Amen, church? Amen. What we understand is this, that God's plan for us is found first in our life in Him. Christ is our life, is what we said the first week of this series, right, church? And so what we understood is this, that if my life is in Christ, then in Christ I find the things in my life that He is looking to place in my life, and I will be in His life, and He will be in me if, in the second week we said this, if I remember His works and His ways, I will find His will. His works are the things that He's doing, right, all around us, whether we want them to happen or not. God's providential will. It's going to happen. You were born. You were living. You will die. It just happens. We all are 100% on this earth going to take a dirt nap unless Jesus Christ returns. Amen, church? So whether you like it or not, there's going to be a day where we will all face the same judgment. And so what we know is this, God's works and God's ways, His ways are found in His word. And if we know those two things, if we are living into those two things and Christ is our life, then we will find His will. Right? Stand with me to your feet and let's read this scripture together. This is our theme verse. It's a familiar verse out of Jeremiah 29, verse 11 and following. Let's read it aloud. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Amen. The word of the Lord this morning. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now I want you to take your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, if you will. Matthew chapter 25, it's near the end of the first book of the New Testament. And there's a parable that Jesus tells, and some translations call it the parable of the talents, and others call it the parable of the bags of gold. And if we're reading from the NIV, so it'll be talking about bags of gold here. And so we find in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 29, this familiar passage of Scripture that has been shared time and time again in my life, and you may be familiar with it as well. And so I'm going to read it for you. It'll be there on the screen as well. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on the journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, and I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came and said, Master, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I had not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have at least received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has been given, whoever has will be given more, and they will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. The word of the Lord. This is an interesting scripture because part of what we have to begin to understand, this is a metaphor for what we have been given. Jesus is sharing this parable with his disciples in light of the things that God has given to them. He has given them gifts. He has given them good things. He's given them blessings. And the question becomes, at the end of it, what have you done with what I have given you? Is basically where the entire thing. So write this down, just to start for grins and giggles this morning. What am I doing with what I've been given? What am I doing with what I've been given? This is a fair question, because there's going to come a point in time. We just sang about it, right? We believe in God the Father Almighty, Lord, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. We didn't sing it that way, did we? We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We just sang the Apostles' Creed, church. There's a place in that Apostles' Creed where we declare, we believe that he will come to judge the living and the dead, that he's coming back again. And there's this one question that will be asked. What have you done with what I gave you? Our hope is that we would hear the same words that were given to the one who had 5 bags and doubled them to make 10, the one who had 2 and doubled them to make 4. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we hope to hear. But guess what? I am not responsible for anybody else but me. That's good news, church. Because I don't have to worry about how many bags y'all are bringing to God. I just have to bring the ones he gave me. I have to bring what God has given me. And have I multiplied it? Have I put it to work? Have I leveraged it in a way that is pleasing and acceptable to him? And have I done what I could do with the things God has given me? Here's the good news for me. Megan Wilson, my sister, I love her. There is a shrine to my sister in my parents' house. This poster-sized picture, I'm bitter. I'm getting over it. I'm in therapy. It is huge, and it sits right over the piano, right? Apparently, I don't like to take pictures. I made a fuss about senior pictures one day, and so my parents said, well, just take the one for the yearbook, and you don't have to take any. And so now I'm bitter because there's this shrine over the piano at my parents' house and I didn't take any senior pictures, but it's my fault. But here's the funny thing. As a kid, she was older. She excelled in a lot of things that I didn't particularly excel at. Jesus doesn't need me to be Megan. He is not holding my life. He is not holding Nate Burns accountable for the life of Megan Wilson, because she's a really awesome lady and she's a fantastic principal. But the thing is, God didn't call me to be a principal of a school. God didn't call me to be anything but a preacher. And what I'm holding myself against in life is not the shrine to my sister. What I'm holding myself up in life with is the view of Jesus Christ and what he believes about me. He said this, that he said, I have created you. I put you together in your mother's womb. I know the very number of hairs upon your head. You are created in my image, and you are perfectly and fearfully and wonderfully made. And I have designed you. I have a plan for you. I have a place for you. And I know where you're going to go. And if you'll just trust me with your life, I will put you in the place where you need to be, and I will give you the talents and the things that you need to live the life that I've called you to live. But we play the comparison game, don't we? We want to run somebody else's race. I was reading a blog by Jeff Hamilton, and he talked about he and his wife had just run a 5K. And in this 5K, I guess they had these little trackers that go on your shoes, and he goofed them up. He got hers, and she got his. And he had been training for quite a while to do this race. And his wife was just going to walk it with a bunch of friends. And so he gets finished, and he had run one of his best times, under 45 minutes. He was pleased with what he had done. He'd only been running a while, but he'd been working really hard for this 5K. And he had run it under 45 minutes, and he was pleased. And he was so excited. And then he went to the website to find his time. And his time said an hour and 58 minutes. He said, what happened? And they came to his wife's time, 45 minutes. And she said, I walked it faster than you ran it. And they figured out what they had done was they had switched their tracking device that would keep their time for them. Isn't it true that sometimes we go, oh, I wish I could be like that. I wish I could be like them over there. I wish I had what they have. I wish I had that gift. I wish I had that talent. I wish I had that skill. I wish I had those things. Here's what I want you to rest in right now. You can tell your neighbor this. Turn and look at your neighbor. Ready? You are who God wants you to be. Say it to each other. Look at one another. You are who God wants you to be. There's nobody better suited to live your life than you are. You are unique, and God has a plan for your life that you are uniquely created to live. I hope this is freeing for some of us today, because some of us have looked for God's will, and we have looked for God's plan in our lives, but we have been looking for God's will and God's plan in somebody else's running shoes. We have tried to live up to somebody else's standard. We have tried to live our lives in a way that pleases somebody else or that fits the shrine on the wall over the piano. We have tried to live our lives in a way that somehow we are going to get the credit for the things that we have done, and it's somebody else's life. Here's what I want us to know today. For us to understand God's plan, His game plan, means we need to embrace who we are uniquely created to be. There is no one else like you on planet Earth. There is no one else like me on planet Earth. Thank you, Jesus. Right? You are uniquely and wonderfully made to be you. Ed Young, pastor of fellowshipchurch.com, writes this in one of his books. He says, he takes the letter U, you be you. And he has a rap online. It's really funny. But I decided I wouldn't show you that. I wanted to show you a clip from the movie Leatherheads with George Clooney and a bunch of football players, because I find this to be very true of life in the church. Go ahead and roll the clip, guys. Part of the problem with our character here was he didn't know his role, right? He goes, what position do you play in high school? Kicker. The guy's 360 pounds, like 6'8". He's a gorilla. He needs to be on the line, right? But he didn't know his position. He didn't know his role. And here's the deal. Part of what we have to do is, if we have been living into somebody else's plan and someone else's design, we have to begin to understand, what is our role? What role am I uniquely created to fulfill in life? What things do I possess within my story, in my life, that give me the ability to do certain things? Here's the deal. Pastor Brian comes to my house on a call basis because I can't fix anything. I try, and I have to go to Google and watch the video, and then I still screw it up. And so Pastor Brian came over one day to fix my garbage disposal because I had somehow used the Sawzall to cut it out and tore it all to bits. And so Pastor Brian came and fixed it for me and put a new garbage disposal in. I do not have the gift and ability to do that. I have the gift of destruction. Hey, demolition's a big deal. I have a gift. I need to like own a dynamite company or something. I can do that. But here's the thing. Part of what I know about Pastor Brian is he has a gift and an ability to do things in maintenance and construction that I have no ability to do. And yet, he knows the role that he plays in that area, and he volunteers that willingly for anybody across the church and anybody he's ever met. I guarantee you, if he has time and he sees someone pulled over to the side of the road, he's going to stop and he's going to help, because that's the way he is. Here's why. Because he knows that if he is going to leverage his life for the kingdom of God, he's going to take what he's very, very gifted at and leverage it for God's kingdom. I can sing. What I can do, It's what I'm able to do. God has blessed me. I like to sing. I sing in the shower. I sing in the car. My kids now sing all the time too, and it's driving me crazy. but we sing. That's kind of what we do. But what I'm going to do is, I'm going to make sure when I sing to the very best of my ability for the glory of God and leverage that talent for His kingdom. I may not be able to build something. I can build a set, but you don't want to stand on it. I can sing and perform for the glory of God in a play or whatever, but I'm going to leverage that talent for the kingdom. You and I are each uniquely created to do certain things. Turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians, sorry, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12 says this. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. As you know that at one time you were unbelievers, and you were somehow drawn away to worship statues of gods that you couldn't even speak. So I tell you that no one who is speaking with the help of God's Spirit says, may Jesus be cursed, and without the help of the Holy Spirit, no one can say Jesus is Lord. There are different kinds of gifts, but they were all given by the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve, but they all come from the same Lord. There are different ways to work, but the same God makes it possible for all of us to have all those different things. Guess what? You don't have to be on the jumbotron above the piano to be somebody. You just need to be who God has created you to be. How many of you love Cracker Jacks at football games? They've repackaged them. I'm a little troubled by that. I'm sort of a traditionalist. I'm missing the box this morning. But did you know that it says right here, there's a fun prize inside the Cracker Jack box or bag now. Did you know that when this Cracker Jack bag was made, there was a prize that was put in at the factory, and it was placed inside the bag, and it was sealed, and it was taken to the distribution plant, and it sat in a box on a shelf, and it's got a life expectancy here, you know, that someday that this stuff is going to be terrible for you. Well, it already is, but anyway, but this prize was already inside even when it went to the distribution plant. And then it was inside when it had gone in the truck to be delivered to whatever store shelf it was going to be on. Happened to be at Come and Go, for those of you who work at Quick Trip, sorry. Anyway, this happened to be on the shelf, ready to go, and the prize was already inside of it. And it always happens to be one of those really slick tattoos, you know what I mean? This was the only tattoo I was ever allowed to have. But this prize was already in this bag when my wife went to Come and Go and purchased it for me this morning and brought it to me. This prize was already inside, and I opened the bag, and here's the prize. Now, the Holy Spirit is already at work in you, even before you knew Him. The Holy Spirit was already working in your life even before you had an understanding. I'm going to pass this to the teens because they look hungry. We believe that God's Spirit is at work even before we know Him. It's called prevenient grace. It's the grace that goes before, church. And the power of the Holy Spirit is what was wooing you to Jesus Himself, calling you to come to Him, and calling you to say that your life is a life that Jesus loves, and He wants to know you, and He wants you to be a part of your life. He wants to be your life. He wants to live in and through your life. And the Holy Spirit has given you gifts and things that were already placed inside of you well before you knew Him. Well before you had any thoughts about God, God had placed works inside of you that you are uniquely created to do, things that you could only fulfill, ways in which you could only serve God that nobody else can do because your life is unique and perfectly made in the image of God. God has created you to fulfill a role, and inside of you rests the power of the Holy Spirit. And the gifts that were given, there may be gifts that are grand, and there may be gifts that don't seem so opulent or whatever, but they're all the same gifts from God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you and me. And so when we put on somebody else's tracking device and run in their race, we miss what God is wanting to do with us. We miss the power that's already inside of us. That God is already at work doing in and through your life. You are uniquely created to live the life that God has uniquely planned for you. And His plans are to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Plans that work in ways that they work in tandem with the gifts that God has given you to leverage for His kingdom. And what happens is this. Sometimes we value gifts over another because they may be upfront gifts, right? The people who sing, or the people who play an instrument, or the people who speak, and we go, oh man, that's really a great gift. It's a gift. Some of you have the gift of encouragement, and you speak words of grace into my life on a regular basis, and you don't even know you do it. But you have a gift that God has given you, and you leverage it for His kingdom, and you may not even realize that you're doing it. Some of you have the gift of hospitality, and you love the party. Who likes the party? Some of you have the gift of compassion, who can sit and be with somebody who has just experienced the most life-devastating news they could ever possibly find. Some of you possess the gift of kindness. Some of you possess the gift of prophecy. I've had some prophetic words spoken into my life that have rearranged my spiritual furniture from people in our church. That is a wild experience when God shows up and someone speaks a prophetic word in your life and it's true. It's a Holy Spirit kind of moment. Some of you build things. Do you know that's a spiritual gift? Some of you are able to teach. Some of you preach. Some of you serve as an usher or a greeter. Some of you smile and shake hands, and that is your gift. There are so many gifts that we read about several in Scripture, and Corinthians chapter 12 is full of all those kind of gifts that are able to be possessed. But there are so many more. Brad, where are you? Brad is my IT guy. I call Brad and say, "Can I do this?" He says, "Not unless you have this. No, never mind. Thank you." Because he knows all of that stuff. There are several of you who leverage computer networking for your life skill. But it goes back to this. What am I doing with what I've been given? Some of you love children and are able to care for them. Some of you are glad you had children and are glad to give them to somebody else to do something with. It's okay. Some of you like to stand in the parking lot and wave and say hi. Some of you go to nursing homes. Some of you do all kinds of things that none of us know about. Some of you leverage gifts every day. Some of you have the gift of administration. Some of you have the gift of gab. Some of you have the gift of all kinds of things. But Jesus has asked us this. I've given you certain gifts and abilities. I've given you certain things. And what have you done with what I've given you? You see, the one went and multiplied it and doubled it to 10. Like one who was given 5. And then he was blessed and said, "You will be given more because what you had done with a few things, now you will be given charge over many things." And the same with the one who had 2. But the one who was afraid, what did he do? He buried it. He hid it in the ground. How many times have we heard God's call or God speak into a particular area of our lives and we buried whatever God was asking us to do? Because we were afraid that we wouldn't do it well enough. Or we were afraid about what people might think. Or we compared ourselves to the Jumbotron over the piano. We compared ourselves. And we looked at us and said, "I'm not good enough. For he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus," church. You see, it's not by might. And it's definitely not by power. But it's by the Spirit of God that what is within us, we are able to leverage through the power of the Holy Spirit to use for His kingdom and His glory. Here's the thing, church. The theology of work that we possess in the Church of the Nazarene, the theology of work is this, that I will go and I will do whatever I have been given to do for the glory of God. We read it last week in Colossians 3:17. Whatever I do, church, say whatever. Whatever I do, I will do for the glory of God. And so you'll be the best garbage engineer that you could ever be. You'll be the best teacher, the best preacher, the best whatever, lawyer, doctor, nurse, whatever you do, we do it for the glory of God. Because he who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. It's God's Spirit at work in you, leveraging the gifts that you've been given. He's already inside you and me. And the more that I lean into him and to his Spirit working at the things that I am talented at, the more I begin to see his plan unfold for my life. I saw a video clip this week that was just powerful. A young lady who decided that she was going to work in Kenya and she was going to raise a bunch of money to help this young lady have education in Kenya. She raised $380 by herself. She was an 11-year-old girl. Because she wanted to make sure this young lady in Kenya would be able to go to school and have the things that she needed for life. And so she got to go over with a mission project, and she got to be there, and she worked in the school. And on the last day she was there, she got to meet the young girl. And her $380 provided 2 years of schooling, food, clothing, and all the things that this girl would need to go to school, to get out of the life and the cycle of abuse and poverty that she had found herself in. God birthed that into that little girl to go and do something. And you know what the little girl said in her interview? That she had received more from the young girl she met from Kenya than she had ever possibly given to the little girl who she paid for school. Isn't that true? When was the last time you heard a missionary come home and say, I gave them so much? I did it. I gave it all. I gave them, whoop, whoop. When was the last time you heard a missionary come home and say, I gave them so much stuff that they cannot possibly have all that I've given them? And what happens? They come home and they say, God gave me more than I could ever have given them. What's your role? Are you an accountant? Do you like to count nickels and noses? Then count nickels and noses for the glory of God. Are you a teacher, preacher? Are you a maintenance person? And you like to clean things? Clean and be a janitor for the glory of God. It's fantastic. Because this is the truth, that whatever you do in life, do it for God's glory. He has a plan for you. He's given you gifts. I want you to look at two things. There's a website. I want you to write this down. Kazown.com. It's by Life Church. They've developed this free resource. And in this resource, you have the opportunity to take a life assessment. It gives you strategic gifts assessment. It gives you a spiritual gifts. It gives you personality. It gives you a place to write your goals. It gives you a place to write down where you're struggling, whether you know whatever area that is. Kazown from Hebrew means vision. Here's the truth. It says in Scripture that where there is no vision, people perish. Part of what happens is this, church. We plan and spend more time planning our vacation than we do spend time planning our life and what God has for us to do. We spend more time and effort planning a vacation than we do our daily living. This is a resource, a free resource. There's another one from NorthPointMinistries.org called Game Plan, where I got the idea for this sermon series. They developed a resource called The Playbook. And on that playbook, there are several things that you can look at, and all those little deals click on there, and you can click on one of them, and it'll take you to different resources that you can use to leverage your life. Here's one thing that we offer to you. Once a quarter, we offer something called Strategy Night. And in this Strategy Night, Pastor Brian, myself, and Dr. Kirk help walk you through spiritual gifts and a personality test and several things to help you leverage your life and leverage what you're good at. Now, here's what I know about you. Here's what I know about me. Five of us in this room will go home and look at those resources. Just a true statement. But here's my caveat. Do not complain to me that you do not know what you're supposed to do with your life if you haven't done anything with these websites or you haven't been to strategy class. You give up the right to gripe about God's plan and God's design for your life when you refuse to look at these websites. Why? Because what we end up doing is we talk about, oh, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't have any plans. I don't have any direction. I don't have any of this. I don't have any of that. This is a way that you could do that. From the comfort of your own office, living room, bedroom, wherever you're at, particular favorite Starbucks, I don't care where you are, wherever they got Wi-Fi, you can sit down and you can do this. Here's what I know. We have been given gifts. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Timothy is exhorted by Paul to use the gifts that God has given him. Because the elders had come and they had affirmed in him, they had laid on their hands and they had appointed him to do these things. And Paul affirms in Timothy, do the work that we had commissioned you to do. God has given you skills and abilities, and God has plans for your life, and God has uniquely created you to be who you are for his kingdom, and his spirit and his power are already inside. So now take the next step and start to put into practice and plan your life according to his works and his ways, and use these resources, free resources, so you can begin to practice the life that God's calling you to live. Because in 1 Timothy 4:15, it talks about that the gifts that we've been given, be diligent in these matters, give yourselves wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Because the very bottom line for us, church, is this: my gifts are not mine to bury, they're mine to leverage for his kingdom and for you. They're for everybody else. The gifts God has given you are for everyone else. They're not for you. So your value, your worth is absolutely tied to the fact that God has given you specific things that you are able to do in life that only you can do and you can fulfill in the lives of other people. Because you are the only one that shows up at a particular time that God may have asked to speak into somebody's life, to do something for a neighbor, to be there in the midst of crisis, to do whatever you are to do for the glory of God. You are the only one that can do what God has created you to do in that moment, in that time, and it's for somebody else. But when we bury it, when we put it away, when we hide it, when we play the fear game, when we play the card of, oh, I don't know if I'm good enough or any of those things, what we end up doing is we end up finding ourselves wondering at the end of life, what would I do with my life if I could do it over? Because we end up with a life full of regret. Because every day is a gift from God to do whatever we do for His glory. And His plan for us is that we would leverage the things that we've been gifted at for His kingdom. Two things to remember. One, know your gifts. Two, leverage the opportunity to use them. There are plenty of places here to leverage your opportunities, but there are plenty of places outside of these four walls that need you to step up and live into the gifts that God has given you to use for His kingdom. One final thought. At the end of life, the day that you meet heaven's door, there'll be one question asked. What did you do with the life I gave you? My prayer for my life is that I will hear the words of the servants who leveraged the gift that they had been given by the master. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Because the comparison that I will make at the end of life is to my own gifts and abilities and the things that I've been given by God. And if I really want to know His plan, if I really want to lean into what God is doing, the first place I have to be is that Christ is my life. The second place is I need to know His works and His ways to find His will. And thirdly, I have to live the plans, the ways and gifts that God has blessed in my life, only uniquely in me, and leverage them for His kingdom. And as I begin to leverage what I'm passionate about, church, I begin to see God's work way more often and frequent in my workplace, in my neighborhood, in my community, in my world, because I'm looking for the things that I'm passionately following Jesus in. You may not care one iota about water for another country, but you may be the most passionate person to build wells across the globe because you are consumed with making sure people have drinking water. So do it for the glory of God. You may be absolutely consumed with children who have literacy problems and who can't read, who can't write, who can't do the simplest task that we expect them to do. And so you give your life to making sure that there is no child in this nation who does not know how to read. So do it for God's glory. What I know to do, I know to read God's word and to apply it to life. And I know to sing my heart out every week. I'm going to do that for the glory of God. Because what's inside of me believes that absolutely God has gifted each of us with a set of talents and a set of gifts that no one else on earth has been given. And that when you lean into them and leverage them for God's kingdom, you will begin to see God's plan unpack into the passions and the areas that you are gifted.